Okay, I'm going to call this public hearing on the Tompkins County budget to order. It's Tuesday, November 13th, 7 o'clock. And do we have to do roll call, Kathy?
No.
We do not have to do roll call. Okay. All right, so basically with the with this budget process, what we're going to be doing is having a public hearing today. The budget will be actually formally voted on Tuesday, November 20th. Right now, this amended budget would increase the tax levy by 3.77% and the countywide average tax rate by 1.95%. And so with that, we're going to open this in this part. And I would like to, I have people that have signed forms to speak, but if you have not signed a form, don't worry. It's not like we have a whole tremendous number of people here, so I'm sure you will have the opportunity to speak. We usually keep these remarks to about 3 minutes. I will exercise some flexibility considering the number of people that are here for this public hearing. And so with that, I would like to invite Linda Schoffel to speak and address the legislature.
You said it correctly, too. Thank you.
Oh, yes. Oh, good. Wonderful. Thank you.
Hi. I'm Linda Schoffel. I'm the Rural Youth Services Coordinator, which is a program for part of the municipal system through County Youth Services. So my program works with all the rural towns, every place except the city of Ithaca, and we have program managers working in the field who work primarily with middle schoolers, sometimes younger, sometimes older. And I'm here to make a plea to ask you to consider one more time the $9,700 over-target request from the County Youth Services Department for filling in funding that would be lost from the state. And it doesn't sound like a huge amount, but if you think historically back to what's happened over the last 3 years with this program, first we had youth money cut for youth employment, and then we were cut in half 2 years ago. And I say to everybody, we're alive but wounded. It has been a struggle for those whole 2 years with the municipalities to try to recoup that money. And everyone has done some part of recouping, but not 100% in any case. So some of the things that we're facing right now is the system depends really heavily on the program managers, who are people of all ages, primarily youngish, who are out there in the field working with youth. And they are really amazing people, wonderful role models, and just what the research tells you need to have to make a difference in youth's lives, of good role models that develop relationships with the kids. Longevity is an important piece because you want to have this be a stable person in the youth's lives and not one more person that is walking out on a youth that is already facing that, you know, that kind of a life where they don't have stable adults. So the staff is really critical. Our full-time staff make $24,000 for year-round, 40 hours a week. It's not a lot of money. They work really hard, and we are working this year to try to raise that base salary by going to the municipalities for that money. It looks like that's going to happen every place that I know so far. So, of course, everyone's just making final decisions. But then the other piece that's losing ground is the program money. And it's sort of like little nibbles here and there, and this last little cut from the state is another nibble, which may not seem monumental, but it definitely affects programming. We're seeing losing programming that we used to be able to do, such as the floating classroom, which was a wonderful program. We worked with them for several summers so that our groups could go out over a four-day period and really learn some science, get some experience. Over 50% of them had never been on Cougar Lake in a boat. Always, we would find that we'd ask every group. Last summer, we were able to send two groups out for one day. So, you know, that has been severely cut back. Those kinds of things that we kind of did routinely. Transportation is becoming another issue that we're really struggling with. We have a couple of leased vans at Extension, and I kind of have to make up the difference and make sure that works out every year so we can pay all the costs. We do charge the programs that use it a per-mile charge, and that will help. That will cover, you know, certainly the expenses of gas, although that keeps getting a little more difficult, service, insurance, that sort of thing. But then we're actually paying leases on the vans. So with all of these cuts in the last few years, we've sought a lot of grants. We've been really successful at a lot of small local grants, Of course, they're good for 1 year and then you start over. But we've gotten some van support. We've gotten some programming support. I would just love to see those last little nibbles that are going to be taken out of each budget from this state amount, which is $9,700. That's the over-target request. And it's not all for rural youth services. Part of it is other places, but primarily it's a lot from ours. I think at least two-thirds of it would affect our budgets. So I'll just ask you to take one more look at that, see if there's any possible way to help with that. I understand the philosophy of not wanting to, always be there when the state makes a cut. On the other hand, I understand what's happening with youth and families. I've worked this last year through the county with the needs assessment we've been working on and should be released imminently, right? It's a big project. But I took on interviewing middle school principals and interviewed five of the six of them in the county. And it was difficult to hear what we were hearing, that, you know, many opportunities have been lost for them as far as things to do outside of the school day. The schools have had to cut back on supporting teachers to run clubs. You know, they used to do three plays. They're doing one. Those kinds of things. So the kids are seeing cutbacks there, too. And at the same time, the principals were talking about, you know, needs of families increasing and seeing more mental health needs. We're all hearing about backpack programs to send home food with youth to, you know, have some food over the weekend. So I think that families are struggling, and I think our youth more than ever need to have people there to support them and help them, you know, learn positive life skills, find a place where they can belong and fit in. And we've been pretty successful in doing that. So I just would ask you to take one more look at that if you can. Thank you.
You very much.
Thanks.
Before I call up the next person, I forgot to mention that the reason why I'm chairing this meeting is that Martha Robertson, our chair, is actually in Albany today delivering a letter of many hundreds of signatures of elected officials that are concerned about fracking. And so that's what she's up to today and why she was not able to attend this meeting. Otherwise, she does regret not being able to attend today and hearing all of you. Next, I will have Suzanne Schlau. Is it? Suzanne Schlau.
Thank you. I came here tonight also as the voice of a youth program through Cornell Cooperative Extension to raise awareness of what's been happening in our program in the last few years, and namely this past year. I'm with the 4-H Urban Outreach Program, and we do receive funding from the County Youth Services Department. We have received about 64% funding cuts in the last 4 years, in addition to private funding losses. At this point, in 2012, 86% of our annual budget is made up of grants and donations. That's how much we've actually lost. But the reason I also want to speak tonight is because the program operates at West Village Apartments, and I'm sure many of you are aware of some of the news recently at West Village. It's not positive news, unfortunately, but I want to share that the families and the kids there are really struggling, and they're scared, and they do need as much support as they can get. We've been operating continuously for 35 years in that neighborhood. But in the last 4 years, we've been forced to cut back. About a year ago, we cut the program in half, and now we're only there 2 days a week after school due to funding shortages. And the over-target request would restore 1 day to that so that the kids could have 3 days a week. But again, it's a program that provides a safe, secure place for kids to be after school, right where they live, in the neighborhood, in the community that they live. It's a trusted, relationship-building environment for families as well. And we have a very dedicated staff there that cares about the families. So I just really want to express that there is a need, and it's growing more every day. due to unfortunate circumstances. But, you know, if you could please reconsider helping us to move forward. We actually have explored a lot of different solutions. It has been, again, 4 years since we've been experiencing these cuts, and each year we come up with new ideas. Some of them work, some of them do not. I spend a lot of my time writing grants. I have been fortunate in the last couple of years to get several grants. This year has not been as much. I think that the competition for grants is much higher. And we've explored other things, you know, working with community partners, with raising awareness, working with schools directly. We have a lot of support from teachers, PTAs, and principals who want this program to continue. We've explored a fee-based model, and also we do trainings for tutors in the community, so we've started to explore bringing in some new revenue sources that way as well. But we really need to look at a sustainable model, and it is getting harder for us and the families who really need it in this community. So thank you for your time.
Thank you. Okay, next I have, is it Osher Hockett?
Yes, thank you. I'm the current chair of the Tompkins County Youth Services Board, so I'm here much in support of the two programs you've just heard about, plus what Amy Hendricks is going to talk to you about, and I'm not going to take much time here. I've been on the board for several years now, and before that I was on the Danby Community Council for about 8 years, where I served as treasurer, and over that period of time, funding has been precarious, and over the past 3 years, it's been essentially a cliffhanger for the Youth Services Board. We're not talking about a lot of money when it comes to the, I think it was $377 of tax levy. We're talking about pennies more to support programs that reach youth that are at risk in a society that is having trouble caring for those kids. And pennies on the dollar here can make a huge difference in the future of these children and save a lot of money at the other end in costs that we can't even estimate now. But if kids don't get the support they need at this stage, the chances that they're going to go on and have trouble in life and cost our culture a whole lot more is great. So I just came here mainly to back up these women who do a lot of, these ladies do a lot of hard work, and we get a lot of bang for our buck out of what the Youth Services Program does and the services they provide and that reach our kids. And I just think it's vitally important. So I came here just to make a short impassioned plea. This is, we're only talking pennies, and it's critical. We've got to stop cutting money for the kids and find other places to take it. I'm a county employee, so I know there are certain costs that government faces that are pretty hard to reconcile, and they're big numbers. And what we're talking about here are fairly small numbers, 20-some thousand dollars for the two OTRs for the Youth Services Program. I just think that it's vitally important that we backfill the support that we're losing from the state. So that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have anyone else from the public that would like to address the legislature in this public hearing? Yes, sir.
I'm sorry, I didn't fill a sheet out.
Oh, it's all right. Come on up, yeah, and just go ahead and speak to the microphone. Thank you. And you have about 3 minutes as well.
Actually, to be honest with you.
Okay.
But the janitor was nice enough to get me in.
Can you please state your name and the town or village or city where you're from?
My name is Randy Brown. I'm from the town of Newfield.
Okay.
I'm the school board there 9 years, planning board 4 years, so I understand budgeting a little bit, and I'm a business owner. Not here to criticize how you're budgeting money. I think you've gone through it pretty well, and it's an arduous task, and watching the money is pretty hard, and you've made some tough cuts already, so that's not why I'm here. I figure you know better than I do, or I hope you do. I'm actually here because I was really just curious, because I didn't know what I would expect when I came here, and frankly not very encouraged by a lot of things that I've seen in the last few years, and so to hear some of these people speak about the kids, I agree with them 100%. And on the way here, I started thinking about that, being on a school board and realizing that kids are what it's all about. And I think that we've got to figure out ways to work better with the county and the school to figure out to do better ways to spend our money. I think right now a lot of county employees are counseling kids from Newfield. And we have a lot of counselors, qualified counselors as well, in our school district. And they're also counseling the same kids that maybe you're counseling on a different level. And I'm not sure the connection's there with the dots. So I think that there's some convenience that you could have. And if you maybe had some of the work with the school system in the state to have the same counselors work with families in the communities, because I think they're detached. And I think there's ways to save money as well. If you look at that, maybe even where in school districts, the biggest problem they have for kids is on the bus. That's the biggest problem they have when they come in, because kids get all worked up on the bus. Well, why not have some of the Thompson County workers or social workers take the bus in with the kids, stay there and work in the community with that school district and build those alliances, and maybe we can cut our staff or share staff. So on a school board for Newfield, we're open to all sorts of ideas on that kind of stuff. So on the other side of that, I believe Cornell Conference Central, I believe, who was speaking just now, is just starting to reach out to the town of Newfield in the last year or two. So we're finally getting some progress. We got some food programs going on. We got some other stuff going on that hasn't happened in Newfield for years. And so it's finally happening. I'm hearing cuts. I don't appreciate it at all. And I'm willing to give $10,000 to the Cornell Conference Extension in Newfield to make anything happen, and I'd like you to split the money with me. So,
thank you. Anyone else from the public would like to address the legislature? All right. And with that, Jim?
May I ask Mr. Brown a question?
Yeah.
You said $10,000?
I'll donate $10,000.
Personal money.
Personal money.
Wow.
Thank you for
Thank
that.
You.
And I do 20 if I get the people next to the 20. And I bet there's other people in other communities as well that would be willing to step up if that condo was set up.
Okay. Thank you.
That is absolutely a new one for me. I've been in government 20 years, and I've never had anyone stand up in the back of a meeting and say, I will do a personal contribution. But, so that's an amazing statement.
Yeah. Okay, yes.
Nate, I have one other thing.
Yes, go ahead, Jim, and then Frank, and then Brian.
At the end of the meeting, I would request that you ask Joe to talk about the tax cap.
Okay.
And how it's being figured. I think the numbers are in, and we could probably do that at the end of this.
Okay, that sounds good. All right, and then Frank, and then Brian.
Yeah, I was going to essentially ask the same thing of Joe, but I wanted to thank Randy, who came here without anything to say and blew us out of the water. Randy, I think there are probably 45 or 46 human service agencies that would love to have your name and phone number. And some of them are sitting around you. So.
And the offers to the
Yes.
And thank you.
Yeah. All right. And then Brian.
Yeah. Sort of on the same topic, but not completely. Ma'am, I'm sorry, I forgot your name.
Susie.
I appreciate what you're saying in terms of West Village and things that have been going on there. I'm a retired police officer from the city, so I know exactly what you're talking about. My question to you is, being that you primarily serve that community up there, has anyone approached the Vaughn Group or the owners of West Village?
Yes. We do receive a financial contribution from them annually. And I should explain, too, that the program has been around for 35 years, and it started at West Village with the owners of that complex back then.
Yep.
So we were provided a significant contribution every year for 30 years until the complex was sold. And we still do receive a contribution annually from the owners.
Okay. I wasn't aware of that.
Happening. Yes.
Thanks.
Thanks for asking.
Okay. All right. And with that, Joe, do you want to close us out here?
I will.
Thank you.
And this is really a follow-up to a conversation we had maybe a week ago about a new way of calculating our property tax cap. It is more bewildering than even the old method of calculating the tax cap, which was pretty bewildering. Just to kind of give you the shorthand version, as you may recall, under a new ruling by the state comptroller, we not only have to take into account things that are in our budget that affect our levy, things like pensions and the growth of the tax base and the pure levy itself, but we also have to take into account how others are applying sales tax money that they receive through the sales tax sharing formula, and specifically towns that apply their sales taxes as a credit against our levy. That gets factored into the tax cap calculation. And if you want to get into the calculus of that, Kevin is here and we'll be happy to walk you through it. But I'll get to the bottom line. The old-fashioned way of doing the cap had our cap at 3.15%. We could have grown our levy by 3.15%. Right now the budget is at 3.77% growth, levy growth. So the cap is 3.15. The new approach would actually raise our cap to 3.75%. So our levy could grow 3.75% over last year's levy, and we would be within our cap. So you're pretty close right now. You're at 3.77. The new cap is 3.75. Now, in saying all this, we have to kind of warn ourselves that the same factors that have raised our cap for 2013 could work the other way next year and could actually artificially lower our cap. So we're on even more of a roller coaster now than we were before. But again, in terms of the rate that we will file with the state comptroller, we will file a cap of 3.75% for next year.
All right. And then I have Peter, and then I have a comment, and then Jim.
Joe, could you just roughly explain what the parameters are? What has happened that you didn't know before to change the tax cap so much?
Yeah. It's not that we didn't know before. It's what nobody knew before. This year, for the first time, the state comptroller is saying that when we look at our levy growth, we not only look at what you would look at, which is our tax levy and how much it has gone up from 2012 to 2013. But after we look at that, we also have to look at what towns do with their share of the sales tax. Towns have two choices. They can take it in cash. You bring it into their budget and they can pay for things. That's choice number one. If they do that, it's irrelevant to our calculation of the cap. The second choice is they can say we would rather that you apply that sales tax as a credit against county taxes within our town. The state comptroller is now saying we have to look at how much sales tax.
That doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever against county taxes.
Yep, against the county tax, because we apportion our tax levy to each of the towns. The towns can say, we want to apply our sales taxes as a credit against, as a way to reduce county taxes in our town. Comptroller says has now said, we have to factor that into the calculation of our levy, so we have to net it down based on the amount of sales taxes applied as a credit against our taxes. It is, as I said last time, it confuses an already confusing way of calculating the cap that most people still believe is a 2% cap that wasn't before and is even more kind of distant from that 2% today than it was a year ago.
All right. Joe, so the difference between 3.75 and 3.77% is exactly how much?
That's 0.2. It's probably $20,000.
Okay, thank you. Jim?
Nathan, I just wanted to remind legislators who are here that if you are going to be putting forth an amendment, it would be good if you could get it to the county administrator's office sometime this week. If you do not, of course, that would be okay, too, because all those amendments that people have to the budget, either plus or minus, can and will be looked at at the November 20th meeting, which is a meeting, not only a regular ledge meeting, but the meeting that we would approve the 2013 budget. So I'm just asking that if you have one you're going to do, try to get it into Kevin and Joe, and we will be dealing with it at that date.
Thank you, Jim. Joe, you had a...
I should never do mental arithmetic.
Okay.
The difference, to bring it down from where we are right now, the 377 to 3.75, is about $84 or $8,500, not $20,000, but $84 or $8,500 would bring it to the cap.
And so you're just going to voluntarily take that from your salary?
I was going to take
what you're saying.
I was going to take the $10,000
okay.
offered.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. All right.
We could just pass a hat around the table.
Any other comments from the public? No? All right, Dooley, you had a comment?
I would like very much if Kevin could take a moment and give us an illustration with one town.
With one town?
Mm-hmm.
No. Okay.
Okay. Can I
set up? Yes, please. Right. Any other comments or questions while Kevin is setting up? Yes, Pat.
Someone remind me what 1% equals on the tax level.
$422,000.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, please. You can sit on along the sides as well on these benches, too. Yeah.
Under county budget, I'm going to pull up the 2012 budget, past annual budgets, line item version, most recent one, 2012. And in here, there is a page that shows the town credits that are applied to the different budgets, and that's the important part to note at this point. This page, I work with the assessment department to review this. So you can see at the go away. So this 42,220. I'll scroll away from it. There's 42 million on the bottom second column. That's the tax levy that was raised in 2012. And you can see the next number next to it is 3,057,000. Each town has basically said instead of using our sales tax that we're entitled to, we want you to use it to apply against the county tax bill. So it reduces the county levy for those towns. Now, what the state is saying is you need to take that into account when you're calculating your property tax cap. So that number, that $3 million that's down here, and I wish that would go away, I have to take that into consideration as well as this workers' comp, $1,000, and election chargebacks. So those are the numbers I have to use in my calculations. So going away from this, and this one. So again, now I look at this gross number here of $42,220,000. And I have to subtract, so I have, that's my original gross number, and that's the number I used to run through the state's calculation to get to a what we could use for 2013. When I did that earlier this year, it was a 3.15% increase. Well, the state then came back and said, no, you need to subtract out that $3 million. So here's that $3 million sales tax credit, and I have to add back in the election chargebacks. It's a cost that the county, or it's a charge that we charge everybody, so it's money coming to the county. So we have a new net number of $30,171,000. So I run it through the state's calculation. I have another calculator that does that, and I get this number, $40,450,000. Now, I worked with David to figure out what 2013's town sales tax credits are likely to be, and that's $3,362,000. It's an increase. And with that increase, we're able to raise taxes more under the cap. And this is election chargebacks. This isn't necessarily the exact number. I'll have that within a few days, but it's so small that it won't have an effect on the bottom line, percentage-wise. But using this sales tax number, we get to a 3.75. Now, let's say it went the other way and we were going to see a loss. Say it's $3 million instead. Now we can only raise taxes 2.9%. So in a good year, we're basically going to follow this roller coaster. When we have a good year, we can raise taxes more. When we have a bad year, we're strained even more.
Okay. All right. I have Peter, then Dewey.
I think that may be too much for me to understand, but if I got it right, it's not so crazy, because they're saying that we get money under the table.
Right.
And so that ought to be taken into account when we talk about how much money we can add. Isn't that more or less the right idea?
It might be. It's still crazy.
Well, that may be.
The tax cap was created to discipline spending by local governments. That's why it was created. What a town chooses to do with its sales tax amounts, and really how those go up or down, has nothing to do with the way we are disciplined in our spending. It has nothing to do with the decisions that all of you struggle with for months as we look at this budget. It is absolutely beyond our control, yet it is telling us, here's how much you will be allowed to levy in taxes and still be compliant with the cap. So it is being argued aggressively by NYSAC. We think it makes no sense. There may be some mathematical logic that a public accountant may have found in it, but for the perspective of public policy, it really doesn't make any sense.
Okay, Dewey?
A couple of things. Thank you, Kevin. I saw Newfield, Groton, and Enfield, but I didn't see all the way up your chart.
Sorry.
So what are the other towns that do it?
Caroline has a this year. I have them up again now. Caroline, Danby, Enfield, Groton, and Newfield all take they apply their sales tax that's they're entitled and put it towards our county tax bill.
I had just asked for one town, but you gave us all, and that's even better. Thank you.
Yep.
The election chargebacks, I understand. What is WC?
Workers' comp. So we charge the towns for compliance of workers' comp.
And, Joe, the state, I guess, is thinking that sales tax and property tax, it's all money, it's fungible. So if we're going to... We're worried about property tax, but if we're getting money as sales tax to credit against it, that's okay. So I can kind of understand, I think, what they're doing.
Right.
But the money's not coming into our budget.
I understand that.
It's just a different way to pay for it.
Yes.
And if the town were to say, okay, we're going to take our money, well, from the state's view, that's somebody else is getting a lot of money to pay for services that they wouldn't have otherwise had. So it's just, I think, from the state's point of view...
Yeah,
I'm trying to manage all of them at once.
I think so.
So
also,
we're getting hurt by it.
I wish I didn't understand it or have the state's view. Thank you.
Yeah, and that's a good example. Is let's say Caroline, this has $550,000 accredited to it. Actually, it'll be easier for me to do the math on $900,000. So let's say Newfield says we want our sales tax money to apply to our own budget, and you guys are going to have to eat it. So what's that minus $900,000? Joe, you're really good with math on the fly, right?
What am I doing? I'm still thinking about Dooley's point.
2.6? 2.7?
Yeah.
2.6? I mean, it's fine. 2.6. That's too many zeros. No, it's not. So now we can only raise taxes. If they said we're going to take our $900,000 or whatever, We can only raise taxes 1.95%.
All right, I have Brian and then Mike.
I'm just... I barely understand any of this.
That was 2-3.
Mike, I guess my question is, I sort of understand how it affects our tax levy. What about the town taxes? What does this do to those? I know it's all one, but as far as their budgets, it seems like if...
When they take the sales tax, it drives up the town tax rate. Yeah. Because they have to raise taxes. What happens is they take the money away and decide to use that sales tax directly. It reduces the town tax and raises the county tax.
And Brian, how it would affect year to year? I don't know that we've given that a lot of. I'm not sure that it would have much of a year to year effect on them. What it could. I think what David is saying is where it could have an effect is if they decide to change their approach to sales tax 1 year. So they either take cash or they apply it as a credit against our taxes. That could really have a profound effect on their tax cap. I also wonder whether a town might look at how close it is to fitting under the cap some year. So they're doing the budget and they're within kind of spitting distance of meeting their cap, is there going to be a temptation to take money that had been applied as a credit against county taxes and bring that portion in as cash to their budget to stay within cap?
But that almost appears as though that's what's happened.
Well, it could certainly happen. And if you were a town official and you're looking about, you know, how am I going to balance my budget and still stay within the property tax cap, that could be a tempting strategy. So it creates a whole set of new questions. Again, I think our goal... And Dooley may be right. There may be a brilliant underlying logic here. But I think our goal is to work on the state to get them to go back to the formula as it was a few months ago, that at least is explainable and at least relates to the decisions that get made every year by this body at budget time that really affects levy.
Mm-hmm. All right, Mike, and then Peter.
Yeah, I agree with you, Joe, that this is totally confusing here. I think I understand what's going on, but I don't understand what's driving it at the state level yet. I think there's something diabolical, but I'm not sure. I'm not so afraid of it swinging one way or the other for us because I think the reason that the towns, at least most of them, take their sales tax direct that some of the towns do not take their sales tax direct and apply it as a credit is because of the forest lands and other state holdings and the fact that they get money from the state. I know a number of them looked at this a few years ago, and if they switched over to what the majority of the towns and villages do, take it direct, there was like a two-year lag, and they would be behind. Because of that, Dave may remember more of that than I do exactly, but it convinced a number of the towns like Newfield and Caroline that they wanted to keep it the way it was. So I don't really see that changing a lot. I'm not confident that the sales tax will continue to go up. I think unless we have something real weird in the national economy, that it'll stay level or go up.
Well, I would say that the sales tax growth this year, being applied next year, is more than just growth. That in the past couple of years, the credit they got was less than the amount than they were entitled to. So it built up a point where we owed them money. And so in order to adjust that, you add that amount you over-collected the prior year and add it to the subsequent year. And that's what happened here. About half of the increase is attributable to making the towns whole.
Peter?
I feel like I've lost my mind. I think I must be drunk. What you're telling me is here's a town. I'm in some hypothetical town. I'm the supervisor. And what happens is suddenly we have to raise the income tax rate in the town. And property tax rate in the town. And somebody tells me, well, okay, you know, we have to raise it. That's too bad. But, you know, there's this sales tax that comes in, and we're giving it to lower the county tax base. Why don't we just keep it, and then we can lower our raise? And I said, absolutely not. I refuse to do that. It's very hard for me to understand how a municipal official would do that or why they would do that, because everybody wants to keep down their raise in taxes. Why is it that anyone would, in fact, not apply their sales tax as a credit against keeping down what their real estate tax is?
Well, the big thing that encourages DMB and Caroline is that if you drive down the tax levy supported by sales tax in those towns, you get the state a free ride because New York State has to pay taxes to the towns. It doesn't pay a penny to the county.
On state property.
Okay,
all right. Okay, there's a factor I didn't understand.
Yeah.
That's fine. I'm
and that might be the reason why the state's doing this, in order to
yeah.
Reduce that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Anything else on this? All right, any other comments from the public? Nothing from legislators? All right, with that, I would like to adjourn this public hearing and let you all know that the budget will be voted on November 20th, our next legislature meeting. Thank you so much, and have a good night.